How are you, John?
Thanks
for joining me here in Croke Park, and we'll dive right into it. You, AIG, obviously have been 2 years now with the WGA, and you've had some a good start and a good success with your sponsorship so far. What does this success mean to AIG and their sponsorship of WGA?
So the history of AIG in Ireland is that it's actually 40 years old this year. For most of those years, we were business-to-business institution that we only dealt in the background. We dealt with brokers and some clients, but we didn't deal direct. So we weren't your, like the insurance company you'd see on TV over the years. We were very much in the background, but we were very strong and well-known in the background. In the last number of years, we moved to what you call a direct-to-consumer model, where we want to, and a lot of that's got to do with the way personal insurance is being purchased on the internet, on the phone. So we had to change our business model to adapt to that and turn into a direct-to-consumer business. So part of that doing that is through advertising. But we felt advertising alone would achieve it, but not sufficiently in a short space of time. So that's when the WGA sponsorship came up. And that's where we looked at that and felt, well, if we want to get our awareness levels up to the levels we want quickly and look at market share quickly, we're going to look at a sponsorship. And the Dubs was up for offer around the same time. So we looked at that and we quickly formed the opinion that it was ideal for our business strategy at the time. So we put our business cases together, and then we would have had to go to New York, which was in itself a bit of a challenge because normally AIG only does global sponsorships. So we had to put a special business case together to support why do a local sponsorship, what benefits it will have, what metrics would be measured on. And we had, you know, it wasn't something AIG normally did on a local state, so we did it as a proof of concept. So we got the right support from the right people, and we gave our business case. It fitted in with our business strategy. We got the approval, and here we are today, and all the metrics are positive.
Did it come, the sponsorship of WGA is in line with a lot of the sports sponsorships that AIG have done. We have the All Blacks, you've Man United. Is fitting in with WGA, was that part of your global strategy, kind of localising it, or in terms of sponsorship in sport?
Yeah.
And if so, then why sport as opposed to, you know, the arts or music or something different?
Yeah, I suppose sport is where we feel we get the most reach and engagement, especially at a global level. Like I said, AIG normally only does global sponsorships. So they pick big properties around the world that they feel have global exposure, and we'll go for them. Obviously, they cost a lot more money, but when you're a global organisation, you tend to look at things at a global level.
Yeah.
So that's where the global sponsorships come in. So Man United was an obvious one. We'd key target markets in Asia where Man United are huge, and the English soccer in general is looked at a lot. So that fitted in with the business strategy of AIG at the time. Obviously then the All Blacks came in, who would consider themselves New Zealand rugby as a global brand. And they're in, you know, when you look at the World Cup and the number of markets where rugby's watched in, you know, everyone knows New Zealand, so they fitted into being a global brand. So the reach and engagement that you get and the exposure of that brand in TV across the world, you know, is very valuable to a company like AIG, where you have a footprint everywhere or most places. The local question is interesting because that feeds into the Ireland case. We never did a local sponsorship, so we had to, you know, we had to put up a strong business case. There was, you know, some people were, you know, went over, you know, they went bowled over by it initially because we only did global, but they were all won over with a strong business case. They looked at our strategy in Ireland. It fitted in completely. It was a bit nervous, you know, at the start because we didn't know what way it would go. But once we've seen the business levels, all the metrics going the right way, awareness levels going through the roof, and ultimately we grew the market share, you know, we're a lot more at ease now with it.
And did you set out your stall early on in terms of you know, your specific targets, or was that for the kind of native market or did it fit in with the global trend that AIG are trying to accomplish?
The targets, I suppose, is another interesting one because AIG is so many different, it's so different in so many different places that it's not one size fits all. Some countries might only be corporate, business to business. You know, we're consumer and corporate, so we do both. So the sponsorship fits, it's holistic in that it's an umbrella for the whole business, and that it benefits commercial, it benefits consumer. The metrics we were looking at in Ireland would have been different to other countries. So we would have had clear direct-to-consumer business metrics and targets that we wanted to achieve. So each country is looked at differently. It's not the same like for like. So I think each country, you just look at what your investment is, what you what you plan for your return is over, you know, in ours it was a 5-year period, and base your business case around that. So it does it's not like for like in each country, I suppose.
You seem to have the Midas touch. Every team that you sponsor seems to have a lot of success. So I don't know, maybe you sponsor a team I'm involved in. You touched on it earlier. In terms of your sponsorship, how does that dovetail into, you know, your above and below line marketing? Yeah. Is it what comes first? Is it the sponsorship and that flows into your marketing, or is it everyone kind of sitting in the same meeting and singing off the same page from the outset?
Well, when you're a sort of very small marketing team in Ireland, I think it's to can answer that very simply. It's we don't have a sponsorship team and a marketing team, and we're separate. We're actually, when we first started out with the whole marketing sponsorship, I was sort of the only person in the company, the only marketing person. We've obviously since expanded the team, but we're a very close, tight-knit team. But yeah, just to get to your point, it's a good question. It's a yes and no answer. I think that your marketing, your overall strategy is obviously reach a certain audience and target market and to ride a certain amount of business, okay? That's sort of your overall top-level strategy, if you want to call it that. So your marketing is going to achieve one thing, and that's going to be directed at your target market. So is your sponsorship. So there are two different forms of media out of your toolkit, if you want to call it that. The difference with sponsorship is that it's different, and that sponsorship will let you talk to maybe an audience that you still want to talk to. It's still in your target market, but you wouldn't have communicated to and got you to through your normal advertising. So sponsorship will open up new doors, expand your target market, because you're talking to your audience in a different way. Yeah. You're on their jersey, you're engaging with them through your sponsorship assets. You know, you can do a lot on social media with them, with exclusive access to be it video or interviews and all that. Plus you've got match day type engagement and stuff like that. So it's a yes and no answer. I think yes, it's definitely overall part of your same strategy, but I think sponsorship is different tool of media, because you can talk to new target markets, new markets through sponsorship, because they engage with you via the brand, and that's the common brand or the common property is the sport. So if it's rugby or soccer or GA, you speak to your audience through that medium.
And do you find that pretty, in terms of you kind of mentioned a lot about content there and assets,
yeah,
do you find that pretty vital in a world where everything is going mobile, essentially? Is that a finger's touch in terms of having something to put his hands up above all the noise and to stand out? Do you think it's sponsorship plays a vital role
Absolutely.
In that for
like
brands?
Sponsorship in itself gives you, it's something different to your normal advertising. That some people don't watch advertising, they have no time for it, they don't like it, they switch off. Sponsorship's different, so it gives you a new medium to connect with your public or your target market. So by leveraging those assets in social media, for example, which is getting huge now, mobile, everyone's got smartphones, it's the whole growth area. So sponsorship is really valuable in a space like that, because people engage with the smartphones and social media, but they want to see stuff that they like. They don't want to just see, you know, watch ads and stuff like that. So you can engage with them in a lot softer way through like content, video content, stuff, you know, that people want to read about and hear about. So if you use those platforms to deliver that type of content, you've got to engage again with the target market and again open up new doors and engage with new audiences.
I'm guessing that's the end goal of most times, to expand your audience, to your reach and your engagement levels with the brand.
Yeah, and just to get back to the point on the dovetailing.
Yeah.
A key thing as well is obviously you treat them all under the same umbrella, but you treat them differently as well, because they're different forms of media. But also you do want to dovetail in ways and leverage your sponsorship assets in your direct advertising, because again, that's what if people are engaged with certain teams, they're going to stand out more. So you should use your assets in your TV advertising, and that's what AIG does. We've used the Dubs in ads, we've used the All Blacks in ads, we've gone down to New Zealand and made that, you know, 2-3 ads with the New Zealand top famous New Zealand players, so that gets cut through a notice over here. And the same with the Dubs, you know, so we use them in the ads. But plus you're also seeing the support. You're linking your assets with your brand and your sponsorships. And people, our research shows that people actually prefer ads to show sports people. They see you're supporting them and you're linking it. And it's more standout. And that's really researched well with us. Yeah. So it's something we'll continue to do.
And how do you come back to your assets? You have some pretty unique access to some great assets. Fortunately, one of them is a rival team of mine, but how do you get your employees, or do you engage your employees with these assets as well? Because, I mean, they're working hard for you you know, off the field, do you give them kind of unique insights or access to the assets that you have?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's a very key thing for any company involved in sponsorship. You need to be engaging with your employees. You need to bring them on the journey, keep them engaged, feel that they're part of it, or feel that they're benefiting from it as well. So, like, key things we would do, like, we do a lot around, obviously, match hospitality. So for the Dubs during the summer, it works brilliantly. You've got X amount of games during the summer. It's during the summer. We bring clients and brokers, which works very well, but we also bring employees and people can bring their kids. It's a family day out, so that works very well. We also, like, when the All Blacks are here, we know we'll run events on during the game and before the game, so we'll involve employees, give them access to
it. I hope you're not handing out black jerseys now.
We're firmly supporting Ireland, so the day job has to go out the window for those games. But we do a lot of engagement stuff with the Dubs. We bring them into the offices because they're obviously here, they're in the city. We bring them into the office, we bring the cups in, we let them bring their families in, we do on a Saturday morning, get photos taken with them and put them up online. They can all, you know, have their all that saved and that for them. We'd give out free gear and give out jerseys, but we'll also facilitate staff buying merchandise at a reduced rate with the supplier. So that stuff like that goes down well. Then when it comes to match day, getting, you know, tickets, obviously you get very popular for tickets, both from employees and you know, coming to All Ireland final, like you learn who your friends or enemies are. But the tickets are very valuable to staff, and we do our best to help staff and get them all tickets as much as possible, you know, and the same with our clients and brokers. So that's a valuable asset, again, of a sponsorship, you know, and you just realise how popular GA is or rugby is when these big games are on and everyone wants tickets, you know, which is positive, but it's also challenging to try and keep everyone happy.
It's funny, in a world that everyone seems to be on their phone, the live events or experiences seem to be growing in popularity. And having sponsorships like you do, obviously, are pretty powerful assets to have with those kind of trends. My last question to you is, what trends, you know, it's a new year and all that, what kind of trends do you see in terms of sponsorship, you know, going forward in 2016?
Yeah, I think social media is going to be huge. The digital online space is going to get bigger and bigger. I think, like, for example, for the Rugby World Cup, we did a virtual reality Hacker 360 app. Okay, so this is part of the global activation for the Rugby World Cup is huge, and obviously there's a huge amount of corporate hospitality and tickets and all that side, and logistics, which is all one side, but the all other side was a huge social media campaign. Obviously staff engagement, employee engagement was big as well, but social media was massive. We did a Hacker 360 app, which was designed to actually give people the experience of the Hacker 360, like the famous Hacker 360. Yeah. Everyone knows and sees and wonders, what the hell is that? And it looks crazy, and you've probably faced it down and still thinking the same, but trying to act confident and positive that you're going to beat this crowd. But the Hacker 360 actually let a camera in and actually go into the centre of the hacker, and you wear a VR, virtual Oculus, a headset, and you actually feel like you're actually on the pitch in the hacker. You hear the noise.
Do you see VR, that kind of virtual reality, becoming one of the biggest trends this year?
Absolutely, because when you've got access and exclusive access in the dressing rooms, and obviously the sensitivities, but the, you know, training camps, everything, tunnel on the pitch with a team, to actually, people don't really know what it's like till they're actually down on the pitch. Players will always say it, but public don't. They've never played a game, or they just only ever watched it, or whatever, never played that level. So when you're on the pitch, VR gives you that sort of medium to actually deliver that to your audience, and you open up a whole new door of doors of audiences and markets with that type of technology. But social media in general, and general content, videos, behind the scenes, stuff we've ran, we tested a lot of it this year with the Dubs, you know, behind the scenes, following the journey, has all worked really well. It's our biggest success, is the most amount of people have engaged with us on that type of content. More you can deliver, you know, on that, your social media and on smartphones, it's where you're going to grow your share and grow your audience and your footprint as well, you know, so.
Brilliant. Well, that's... You've kind of answered all my questions and some. So, you know, thanks very much for coming in today and spending some time with me.
Perfect. Cheers. You too. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Cheers.
Thank you.